You're listening to Soap Sound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast. So welcome to the El Arpa Podcast. This is the preamble. Maria will be joining me in just a moment, but now is your opportunity to listen to an excerpt from an interview we made with an English poet, and he explains to us about his life in Madrid, and he reads a poem for us as well. So check out that video on our Twitter and Facebook, and right now just enjoy the excerpt, and after that, the beginning of the podcast. Welcome to the newest episode of the El Arpa Podcast. We're sitting on a bench in a quite pleasant November evening. Maria, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So this week we're talking about, well, can you tell our listeners what we're talking about?
We're talking about silent movies.
Yes, we are talking about silent movies, specifically the movies of Charlie Chaplin. Is that correct?
No.
Okay, I stand corrected. So what have you been looking at in the past week? We have been talking, but not about this, so.
Mostly Chaplin, but also other bits and pieces from before even.
Okay, so I think most of us probably remember, or believe we remember, the first movie we ever saw. Do you remember when you were first exposed to silent movies?
Oh, to silent movies?
Well, yes, in general.
Oh. No.
Okay. That's a good start. Okay. I mean, you don't have any vague recollection in your childhood of...
In my childhood, definitely not in my childhood.
So you never watched silent movies in your childhood?
Well, no, of course not.
I mean, I did.
Yeah, but everybody else watched cartoons.
Well, they were on TV. So when would...
In
Ireland, yes. We had the old black and white tube station there for 40 years before we got the colour in. Okay, so when did you first start watching these movies?
Last week.
Okay, so... No, we're not cutting that. So why... No, this is interesting because I assumed that most people would be aware of it. I mean, I just thought there are certain things that people are aware of. I mean, it's like celebrity gossip, you know. I don't follow it, but I'm aware of what's happening with certain celebrities, for example, or there's things that you're aware of without even, you know, without even knowing where you heard about it. I mean, I can't remember where I first heard about the Hindenburg disaster, for example, but it's something that everybody knows it, for example. I can't remember specifically when I've seen a Charlie Chaplin movie, but most people have an idea of what a Charlie Chaplin movie looks like. So for my point is, my point is, you know, I mean, did you have any, you must have had some kind of cultural background or exposure to Chaplin, indirectly at least, you know, when you're younger.
I would have thought so, but I think what you said is right. You just can't remember where you first saw it. Yeah.
So having watched them last week, did you have any preconceptions before you press play on that DVD or smearing that movie? I mean, did you have any ideas going in about what a movie like this would be like?
Yeah, well, I think like unconsciously you tend to think that they're a bit shallow, that, you know, they're not really, that it's just the movies were just made for the sake of it rather than, you know, having a proper plot or something like that.
Well, it was just more of a novelty, and well, I mean, I think to a certain extent that is true. I mean, with some movies of that era, it is, you know, I mean, it was a new medium back then, so obviously they hadn't mastered the techniques of how to make a movie. In some respects, you know, obviously, you know, there are people like Buster Keaton with his famous sketch where there's a house falling all around him and a wall falls on top of him, but he's perfectly placed, so where the wall falls, there's a window, so he remains unharmed, you know, so like that takes a lot of technical skill. Chaplin, for example, was criticized for not really understanding the power of the medium, because Chaplin felt that movies should just be movies without having flashy special effects or grandstanding techniques, for example, you know. But I suppose as well the limitations in the medium, right? I mean, could they do much with what they had back then, you know? Story-wise, character-wise?
I think they actually did a lot.
Okay, explain.
Well, some of the things that I've seen, and I watched a short movie, very short movie, like, I don't know, maybe 1 minute. It was called The Motorist, and it was basically about, a couple in a car, and it looked like cartoons, basically. They were just, like, traveling around, you know, all around the moon and Jupiter and different planets, and then they were landing back in Earth. But it was cleverly done, because while they were, you know, going around the planets, it looked like cardboard. But, you know, there's a technique that is used in modern times, in sort of like, you know, surreal kind of films.
Well, I mean, if you look at Monty Python and the
Life
of Brian.
Exactly that kind of thing, yeah.
I imagine that even if this movie was made today, they'd still employ the same effect, because it's so bad that adds to the humor.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was so surreal. Well, in that case, it wasn't so much to the humor, but definitely to the whole magical idea of, because in fact, when they land back on Earth, the police is chasing them, and by magic, their car turns into a cart and with horses, and then when the police disappears, it turns back into a car. So it's kind of like quite surreal, but there are things that you don't expect, you know, them to have been able to achieve so early on.
Yeah, what strikes me about those movies is, the Great Chaplin movie, The Great Dictator, has a scene where they're in a plane, and the plane goes upside down, and they have this farcical conversation. It's like, the sky looks like fields, for example, and obviously the audience knows that the plane is the wrong way up, the characters don't. One of the characters asks Chaplin, how's the gas, you know, as in the petrol in the plane, and Chaplin makes a joke about something that he ate, you know. So these kind of like puns and playing words, it's kind of a cheeky sense of humor, and again, surreal nods, you know, where you know that the actors are really playing dumb for comedic effect. I mean, you can see it in so many movies, from Naked Gun, Hot Shots Part 2, you know, some movies not so good, but the sense of humor, I just find that the sense of humor hasn't changed that much, you know, and you always think that the past is a different country, and the movies of the past would be of a different flavor, but I think what is kind of common in movies today can be found in movies of Chaplin's era as well.
I think that's true for different genres as well, because we have this idea that you know, everything in the past was like old fashioned, but I think, well, first of all, like, obviously our perspective is biased, but then I also think it has to do with the period that we're talking about, because, you know, it's a moment where, you know, after like the Industrial Revolution, and lots of new things happened, like machinery, and the world was kind of like a brand new place, and there's like this attitude of trying to create and to invent new things.
Well, no, I agree with that completely, because I'm not one who says, you know, it was better in the old days, but I think when it comes to cinema, yeah, there is a magic to sets that are built by hand or special effects that were implemented by visual tricks of the camera, or through other kind of methods that weren't impossible, you know. And even though we see far grander things on the screen today, we've lost our sense of wonder, I think, when it comes to movies as a spectacle. And back then, you know, the fact that it was a new form probably helps the story as well, because they're playing with the form and seeing what they can do and experimenting. And again, that's something that happens every time there's a new form or new wave in cinema as well. Another great Chaplin character, aside from the bowler hat and stuff like that, is this character of the beggar. So I mean, some of his movies had a very humane message in them. I mean, the character of the beggar was treated with great sympathy by Chaplin. In watching the silent movies that you've seen over the last week, is that at odds with the general kind of tone of those movies, or were the movies back then more sentimental? What's your opinion on this?
Well, I think there's a bit of everything. There's obviously a degree of naivety in the love stories, for example, but then there's also a lot of political satire and, you know, just general humor, and, you know, it's a lot of, like, as you said before, like, you know, witty remarks and jokes about, like, with language and other things, so...
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, as well, back in the past, I mean, the 30s was a... And the 20s were... I mean, every age is incredible. And again, I think, even though I'm an historian and you are as well, well, more of an archaeologist, I should say, you know, we do look at the past and sometimes forget how vibrant it was and how political it was and how there were great people making great statements and having these big ideas. And of course, like in the 20s and 30s, you did have this big debate over what democracy was and communism and fascism and the place of the poor and how to make a better society, for example. So, you know, I mean, obviously, these great ideas are going to filter through in the movies to some extent. And of course, one of the most famous examples of this, as we mentioned in last week's podcast, would be the speech in The Great Dictator, which I think most people are aware of as well. You've heard of it.
Yeah,
so, you know, I mean, that's a kind of call to reason and peace and understanding that wouldn't be out of place in a Hollywood movie today that's baiting the Oscars, or from a politician speaking at a war memorial or after a tragedy that happened in a place like Paris last week, you know. So, yeah, I mean, the more things change, you know, the more things stay the same, I think, when it comes to these movies. Would you be... The big question... You know, as movies for the movie's sake, would you be interested in watching more of these movies?
I think I would, especially after reading some of, you know, a bit of background about them, because there was an aspect which I found very interesting related to perception and how, you know, because these movies didn't, you know, you weren't fed all the story, but it was more suggested to you that the spectator had to fill in the gaps and use the imagination a lot more, and in so doing they were able to engage in a...
Because you had the music and then the black screen with the writing, but between the writing you had interpretation more or less.
Yeah. But I mean, only some of the movies had dialogues, but some of them didn't even have dialogues at all, only the music. And for example, in that case, you sort of like had to... I mean, it was very obvious what the story was, but there was more space for you to interact. I think in all the podcasts we've talked about, the need for the spectator, or the general public, to be able to engage with the work of art. And I think in that respect, it's quite interesting that there's a lot more space to do that in different ways.
I think it's a fascinating topic in general. For that reason alone, I'd want to watch even more movies myself, because I know Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, and another guy were considered three of the greatest actors of their time. They're basically around at the same time. And also, as well, by virtue of the fact there was this huge change. You know, first of all, movies became a popular form of entertainment, and then, you know, you'd talkies, you know, movies where people spoke, and the silent era was dead and buried, you know, and people got left behind. You know, stars of the silent era, some of them never made the transfer over to the non-silent era because they didn't have the voice for it, or they just couldn't adapt to the new way of doing things, you know. So it's an interesting period because there's a lot of change, a lot of innovation. Some people made it, some people didn't. Chaplin, Keaton, they did, and you know, their movies, I think, generally, well, some of them at least stand up today as entertaining movies. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, but what you were saying about people making it or not, that, you know, a lot of actors were loved by people before they heard the voices, but then obviously when they heard the voices, perhaps, you know, it wasn't the right tone or the tone they imagined, or also they didn't have the right accent, you know, including like from the right social class for the character that they were playing, and that was a problem for many of them, and the reason why many of them didn't succeed. And the speech in the Great Dictator is related to that as well, of like how ridiculous, not only, you know, obviously we all know about the political undertones, but at the same time it's kind of like ridiculizing the fact that speech is kind of like overrated in his view, which is the reason why he kept on doing silent movies even long after.
Okay, so. It's an interesting angle on the idea. Also, a lot of his movies in the past, well, around that era, were movies that were for pure escapism. So, movies like The Dictator, Great Dictator, I suppose, are interesting because they do tackle something that's in reality quite serious, albeit in a satirical way. Okay, so welcome back to part two of the show. Thank you very much for listening for this on this topic of silent movies. So this is Enda from the Alarpa podcast saying bye-bye.
Maria saying bye.
You're listening to Soapsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the Alarpa podcast.